Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse. Jitterbug. Jitterbug.
Jitterbug. You put the boom boom into my heart. You feel my soul sky high when your love imparts. Jitterbug into my brain. Yeah, yeah. Goes to bang, bang, bang till my feet do the same. But something's bugging, something ain't right. My best friend told me what you did last night. You left me.
Okay, so why did I play this?
Yeah, I guess that would be the question.
You haven't figured it out? George Michael.
Yeah.
Andrew Ridgely.
Oh.
So we go from Andrew Ridgely and Wham to, and huh?
Okay. Well, Wham, and then it hit me.
Andrew Valinsky.
Then
okay,
it hit
there
me
you
like
go.
A ton of
spelled
bricks.
Differently. Oh, stay with me. I'm trying to do this.
I am with you.
Executive Counselor Andrew Valinsky and Democratic candidate for governor of the state of New Hampshire. Andrew, good to have you back.
Wham. Thanks.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
Wham. Wham.
Yeah, but you know, that was, what was that, 40 years ago? 35 years ago?
I mean, holy cow.
I know.
I'm not going to say I remember that.
I remember that. Yeah. Oh, boy, isn't that the truth.
It's just part of the fabric. Well, let's just accept that. Yep.
You know, we were chatting before you came on with Mike Dennehy, because Mike has been a political consultant for a whole bunch of years. Of Dennehy and Boulay, or Boulay and Dennehy. And I said, how does a candidate run, if you're not an incumbent, how do you run in the pandemic year when you can't campaign in terms of, you know, getting out and meeting people one-on-one? It's hard to get airtime, stuff like that. It's got to be a hard thing for you. It's not a traditional year.
That may be the understatement of the morning.
Yeah,
it's not a traditional year. So, look, you use other modalities. You spend more time on the phone. You use Zoom and Facebook, and you do webcasts and things of that nature. But now more than ever, it's important to make your contrasts with your governor, or in my case, also my opponent in the primary.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And let me, they have not talked at all about the rising burden of the local property tax.
Mm-hmm.
That property tax has gone up year over year after year. They've done nothing about it. I'm worried that with the economic crisis coming, they're going to downshift more state responsibilities to the local property tax, which is, the economic term is inelastic. The actual way to describe it is your property taxes are due whether you have income or not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so there are built-in problems, and they come up starting June 30th, a few weeks from now. And so I know the school funding side more than the other parts of property taxes, but in the last 5 years, the local property tax across the state has gone up more than $120,000 a day.
Oof. Wow.
While Chris has been governor and Dan's been majority leader, and no one's talking about it. That's why I won't take the pledge. Everything needs to be on the table as we move into this uncertain time economically and public health-wise. And I realize that people think you need a certain amount of courage to refuse to take the pledge in this state, but it's the right thing to do, and I'm governed more by principle than what the inside politicians tell you to do.
Is Andrew, is this the time to actually have a discussion? Because before, you know, you go through the, I'm taking the pledge, blah, 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 and nobody really paid attention to it. But because of the pandemic, because rooms and meals tax money has been non-existent, small businesses going under, the revenue from businesses tepid at best.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the time to say, hey, we can't, if you want to be prepared to shoulder everything on your back, sure, go ahead. But is it time to have that discussion seriously?
I think we can't avoid it at this point in time, because as you mentioned, all of those existing tired beat up revenue streams are not going to be all that productive, or let me say it this way, will be less productive than they've been in the past. And so you can't expect to rely on the business profits tax when businesses don't make profits. You know, so it's time to look at this broadly, to put everything on the table, to have the courage to have this discussion, and to say, look, in New Hampshire, not everyone pays their fair share. And if you have the ability to pay the price of admission and buy a nice home on the lake, you can have the lowest tax rates in the state. But if you're living in a normal home in Manchester, your taxes just keep going up and up and up, and no one seems to care. And so that's the start of the discussion that we need to have. And I'm not saying we need to do one or the other, but everything's got to be on the table. For God's sakes, we are going to be facing the worst economic times that any of us have faced.
Well, and I think that's part of the discussion nobody's talking about, because as they're saying, hey, we're going to turn the lights back on and say New Hampshire's open for business, everything is not going back to normal when the lights go back on. There is going to be a long-term fallout from this that we've got to deal with.
Yeah, and look, the president and the vice president and the treasury secretary are making things worse by attaching all kinds of strings to federal aid. And I hate to say it, but the governor's not pushing back on that. As a matter of fact, he's endorsing the idea that the CARES Act money only gets spent by local municipalities to defray costs directly related to COVID response. Now, there's going to be, call it 20, 30% shortfall in local revenues because people are out of work and can't pay their property taxes, or landlords aren't getting their rent on time. That's a big hole for the locals. And the governor needs to step up with the president and say, look, we need some freedom to do what's best for New Hampshire. This isn't politics. This isn't, you'll excuse me, standing in front of a church with a Bible for a photo op. There are more important things for us to do to protect the people of New Hampshire, and we need someone who will stand up and do that.
Oh, that's a nice visual. Thank you, Andrew.
I didn't create that visual.
Oh, okay.
I kind of despise it, but it's happening. And we need to call it out, right? We're in this terrible pandemic. We're looking at an economic crisis. There's the George Floyd killing of others. And rather than having the president calm those fears and anxieties, he's stoking them. And when the governor's asked about that, he says, I'm not paying attention. That may be an accurate statement, but this is the time to pay attention. We have a great record here in New Hampshire of peaceful protest. I was at the protest Saturday in Manchester, and the protesters were very appropriate, marching in the city streets, not damaging any businesses.
Yep.
And then two guys with Trump flags showed up with guns. And the peacekeeper had to stand them down. And then there's a video, and I want to specifically mention this, where three police officers are running towards the guy with the gun, doing their duty. I'm proud of them. That's what happens here in New Hampshire. We need to encourage that, but we also need to look at some of the structural issues that we have here.
Now,
New Hampshire doesn't have a minimum wage, for example. It should be $15 an hour, and black and brown people often have service jobs. So we could help a lot with that. We could help by funding our schools and supporting colleges and universities in a real way instead of being last in the nation. Those are structural things. It's not time for lip service. It's time for action.
Now, and I hear what you're saying. I'm going on the other side. Some people saying, well, wait a minute. Why are we giving more money to colleges when they've got vast sums in the multi-millions in their resources that they're not spending? Why are we shelling out more money? People don't understand the connection.
Yeah, I don't think the state community college system has vast sums held back in an endowment.
And you're right.
Dartmouth does.
Dartmouth, St. A's, but UNH has a war chest, yeah. I gather. Mm-hmm. And so you tell people that, and they say, well, why am I giving them money? They've already got tons of money.
Yeah, so I don't think state or public money should go to private Dartmouth. We don't need to take care of Dartmouth. Actually, I objected to the governor creating a scholarship program to fund kids going to Dartmouth and all the private schools in our state. Those schools are great. Look, I totally support them, but not with state money, not when we have the highest tuitions
right. In
community mm-hmm. college and state college and university. So when people have a right to say, why would you give money to a college that has an endowment, I'm thinking we need to lower tuitions at community college. We need to do what we can to get them close to free so that we have a 13th and 14th year of education that gets kids technical job skills, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we don't support community college well. And I think the university system has shot itself in the foot a number of times. When that librarian passed in Durham, the university librarian, and left the big bequest, mm-hmm. $1 million,
yes,
and the prior president spent it on a football scoreboard.
Right.
Embarrassingly bad decision.
Yeah, that was
terrible.
Yeah,
decision.
not a shining moment.
Yeah, and I confronted a couple of trustees on that. As an executive counselor, and was told that it was good marketing and would be an investment. And, you know, I can't repeat on the air what I told them.
I was going to say, see, what do you know, counselor? Mm-hmm. It's good marketing. Wow.
Yeah, I think it was BS.
Wow.
And a bad decision. So, yeah. Wow. So, look, the public schools were asked to go remote. You know, on a Sunday night, open up Monday on remote learning. No new money went to them.
Right.
The university system has asked for an infusion of $6 million so they can go remote in the fall.
Right.
I don't see it happening. I don't see it as being a good investment. Their costs are going to go down if they have to be remote.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're planning to open. So that investment is even less necessary. We all need to tighten our belts. Don't get me wrong mm-hmm. with that. But there are things that create opportunity in our society. I'm the beneficiary of a good education. I'm the only one in my family to go to college. It's made all the difference in my life. I went on scholarship.
Yep.
That's the kind of opportunity we need to have more broadly in New Hampshire.
Andrew Valinsky, executive counselor, candidate, Democratic nomination for governor, on with us. We're going to take a break. Now, I'll ask you the question before we take the break so you have a chance to collect your thoughts.
Okay.
For years, one of the marketing advantages of New Hampshire has been, hey, tax-free New Hampshire, no sales tax, come on up. If we instituted a sales tax to try and relieve the burden of property tax, do the numbers even out because all of the people on the borders that have been attracting Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts people coming up, losing revenue because that is no longer a marketable advantage? Think about that. We'll be back in a couple minutes with the answer with Andrew Valinsky right after this.
Maybe right.
By the way, Counselor, I wasn't suggesting that as a campaign song.
It just
happened to come up.
Yeah. I thought you were giving me another. No,
I really wasn't. It just happened to work out that way. No, it's funny. Yeah, I started playing it going, oh, God, he's going to think. Yeah, no, sorry.
It's okay. It's all good.
Executive Counselor Andrew Valinsky on with us this morning. All right. I gave you 3 minutes, which I thought was really good. But it's been called sometimes the new, you know, I don't even know what the New Hampshire advantage is, but it's been called, you know, our ace in the hole, that because we have no sales tax, we're attracting people from the bordering states. If we moved to a sales tax or income tax, whatever those two, would that neuter whatever monies, you know, were coming in?
Yeah. So I'll go back to where I started.
Okay.
Property tax is too damn high.
Yep.
We can't put more burden on it, and everything needs to be on the table so that people pay their fair share, whether they live here on the lake or they're just visiting. So everything on the table. We have a sales tax. You know that the rooms and meals tax is a sales tax.
Right.
You pay it. The thing is, the state had promised to return in revenue sharing a significant amount of that sales tax, and in recent years has cut back on that. Indeed, the governor went around with these oversized checks to return money to communities. Really, what he was returning is the money that we owed local communities for years and years and years, and he's just P.T. Barnum about that. So, you know, you have neighboring states with higher sales taxes. You could have lower sales tax than them. You could tax different things. You could do what I do in my law firm. My law firm cannot compete on wages with New York City financial center salaries.
Sure.
Just, we can't do it. But we have a quality of life in New Hampshire that is the best. And so when I was leading the law firm, that's how we'd recruit. You want to live near the mountains, near the ocean? You want to get out of the city? You want to be in a place where you can see your kids at night? Mm. That's how we sell New Hampshire to lawyers. It's the same across the state in different businesses. You sell the quality of life. You don't sell the fact that one state has 2 cents and the other state has 3 cents on their sales taxes. There's much more good happening in New Hampshire than the fact that we purport not to have a sales tax or any other kind of tax. Because, quite frankly, that's the counterpart to the beautiful New Hampshire quality of life is Manchester Proud, formed by the local businesses because the schools are hurting so much and they can't recruit employees to live in Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem we need not to sweep under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
So I focus on the problems, and I may be crazy, but I am putting everything on the table for discussion, and with the legislature's help, if I'm elected, we're going to have this broad discussion informed by the people of New Hampshire. And if I may, people may follow us at volinskynh.com to learn more about our campaign and how we're addressing these issues. And I will give you one final thought. I was endorsed recently by Ben and Jerry.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
Of ice cream fame. And they're naming an ice cream after me.
Oh, jeez.
It's called Volinsky's Courageous Crunch.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, that's, my kids think that's the coolest part of this.
I think that's totally cool.
All right. Now, Counselor, just for the record, I was not implying you were crazy. I don't want, radio announcer calls can't. No. I was not saying that.
I know you were not.
But, no, we enjoy chatting with you, Andrew. We really do. And. This is something you'd be doing irrespective of the pandemic, being on the radio. So at the very least, this is like the closest to normalcy you're going to get. So we will continue the conversation. We'll get you back on. And as things begin to evolve and unfold and get better or get worse, whatever, I want people educated when they go to the polls. I want them armed with information, and that's why you're here.
That's an important service. We have 98 days till the primary.
Amen.
Here we go.
We will chat again soon, Andrew. Stay well.
Both of you take care. Be well.
All right.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Andy.
Executive Counselor Andrew Walensky, Second Council District.
Gubernatorial candidate.
Yep. Trying to get the Democratic nomination to run against Governor Sununu. So there you go. We will chat with
you. And
Andy
it is. Again. September, believe it or not, is coming up fast.
Yeah. Yeah, it is ticking, man. It really is. It'll be snowing in 4 months.
Oh, stop.
What?
Oh, stop.
I'm just trying to impress upon you. You don't have time to dally.
All right. Very good.
Thank you. Don't be raining
on
my parade.
Hey, I still haven't hit my longest day of the year.
Don't be snowing on my parade. Straight up 9 o'clock. News is on the way. We're back.
Shoveling it.